Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and grace toward us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together as a body and worship you as a family. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us in Scripture so that we can know who you are and see what you have for us. Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts to whatever truths it may be you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Food is something that we can all relate to. Whether you eat to live or live to eat, food is something that we all must consume in order to stay alive. Almost everyone has a favorite. From cheeseburgers or pizza to steak de burgo or summer vegetable risotto. Whether you're passionate about food and what you eat, or you eat whatever slop someone puts in front of you, food is a must-have for all of us. Experts believe it's possible to live for several weeks without digesting nutrients from food. As I was looking that up, it's understandable that no one has signed up for the research, because who in their right mind would want to test what the experts believe to be true? When someone is dying and they stop eating, we know that they will be shortly passing away. We all know that we have to eat in order to live. The need for food is something that people have known about forever. You all remember the story, but when Israel came out of Egypt, they started to grumble against Moses and Aaron because they didn't have food to eat. So the Lord told Moses in Exodus 16:4, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction." If we continue in Exodus, we see that God provided bread for Israel to eat, and we know that that is now called manna. God wanted Israel to remember that he had provided for them. Exodus 16:32 states, "Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omerful," which an omer is about 2 quarts, "let an omerful of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." This is one of those miracles that would have been talked about and passed down from generation to generation. There are several references of this provision from God throughout Scripture. Psalm 78:24 says, "He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven." Psalm 105:40 says, "They asked and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven." And Nehemiah 9:15 says, "You provided bread from heaven for them for their hunger." It was very important for Israel to remember what God had done for them. For centuries, the Jews had used bread in their worship. They had a weekly Sabbath, which is a day of resting, and the table was set with 2 loaves of bread to remind them of the manna God provided to Israel in the wilderness. And also God's command to gather double portion on the 6th day in the preparation for the Sabbath. When we look at and think about passages like this, we can see the active involvement of God in the history of our world and how he provides for his people. These passages can be encouraging for us as Christians to know that that same God is also active in our lives and how he provides and cares for us. But as we look at the Bible as a whole, we can see how these situations point to something much larger than what can be seen at first. This particular passage points to something that Jesus says when he is on earth. The passage that we'll be looking at this morning is in John chapter 6, starting with verse 26. Chapter 6 starts out with Jesus feeding the 5,000. This is where Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds everyone as much as they could eat and still had leftovers. The people wanted to make Jesus king because of the sign he had performed. The next scene in the chapter is Jesus walking on water. Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee, and people come looking for him. And this is where we pick up the story in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father, God, has set his seal." Therefore, they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." The people had come to Jesus because they had eaten the loaves and were full. They wanted to find the person that would allow them to have their fill of the physical world. Think about it for a moment. If you had just seen 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000 men, yourself included, which didn't include the women or the children, so if you include them, it's about 15 or 20,000 people, and everyone ate as much as they wanted, wouldn't you want to keep eating for free from that person? Everyone loves a free meal. The longing of the Jews was that the Messiah would come and rescue them from Rome, just like God had rescued them from the Egyptians. They were wanting to make Jesus the physical king. Because of this perspective, they could only see the physical. Instead of seeing in the bread the sign, they had seen in the sign only the bread. They were more concerned about their stomachs being satisfied, just like the nation of Israel in the wilderness. Jesus challenges them to look beyond the hunger of their stomachs to the hunger of their souls, which only he can satisfy. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Now the people responded by saying, which is an obvious response, "Give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." Jesus was talking about spiritual hunger and thirst. But most of the people listening couldn't understand it. Even as they spoke of the manna their fathers received in the wilderness, they missed the symbolic meaning of that bread and didn't see that it was actually pointing towards Jesus' life and ultimately his sacrifice. We're blessed to live at a time where we have the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, to be able to see the bigger picture of what God was doing in the world. In this section, as well as other sections of Scripture, but in this section, the people are only looking at the physical aspect of life and not the spiritual. But Jesus, over and over again, is trying to get them to see the spiritual, and he is using the physical world to describe it, just like he did during his encounter with Nicodemus and the woman at the well. One of the amazing things is that Jesus knows the hearts and thoughts of everyone. So in this dialogue, he's trying to use the physical things that they know about and understand to teach them about spiritual truths. I know that most of you probably understand this passage, but this may be one of those truths that's easy to understand but harder to accept. Is Jesus everything we need to satisfy our hunger? Let's compare food with the true food from heaven. With food, we eat it because it provides a need that we have. We may not stop and think about every bite that we take, but when we eat, the nutrients in the food is providing life, sustenance, and nourishment for our bodies. We tend to be intentional with what we put in our mouths. From a young age, nutritionists have been teaching us about the food pyramid, telling us that our bodies need certain types of foods to be the most productive. In Matthew 4, after Jesus is tempted by Satan to turn stones into bread, he says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." John has already stated in chapter 1 of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then later he says, "And the Word became flesh." If we look at these passages next to each other, we can see that in order to truly live, we must have this Word that is from God and is God. And in John, we can see that the Word is Jesus. So just like food, we first must learn the importance of consuming the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." We have been conditioned to eat certain foods that are good for us and not eat other foods that are bad for us. But simply knowing this information and knowing that food exists will not feed our hunger. We can't pretend that we just ate something and actually be full. For those of us who have had children, remember what it's like to miss a scheduled eating time? We didn't just give them a picture of an apple or just tell them to imagine that they just ate something. We had to get home as fast as possible or get to the nearest store with food and buy some. We must take food in and make it a part of us for it to make a difference. Jesus is the same way. We can't just know about Jesus and know that he exists and pretend that we're spiritually full. By trusting in Jesus through faith, we make him a part of us. This is a one-time event. But by continually taking in the Word of God and being open to the Holy Spirit working in our lives, the truths of the Bible will start to make a difference in who we are as people. Now imagine for a moment that I tied you down, blindfolded you, and started stuffing food into your mouth. What would your reaction be? But what if Rachel and I had you over for dinner, and you walked into the house, and you smelled the amazing meal that she was cooking? She had prepared a spectacular, mouth-watering meal with an appetizer, a main entree, and of course, dessert. What would your reaction be? Our immediate reaction when someone forces food in our mouth is to resist it. But if someone has created something absolutely magnificent for us to eat, we can hardly wait to take the first bite. This is one of the reasons God has revealed himself to us in the Bible, so that we can see how unbelievably incredible he is. He didn't give us 66 books to overwhelm us, but to help us see just how amazing he is and how he longs for us to come and dine with him. In the letter to the church in Laodicea, in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." This letter is written to believers in Christ. It's written to a church. Jesus is waiting for us to enjoy his food. We don't just eat once a week or even once a day, but we eat all the time. Some people eat 1, 2, 3 meals a day. But research tells us that we should graze when it comes to eating food. They recommend eating 5 or 6 times per day in smaller portions. Just as we continually eat food, we need to continually feed on the true bread of life. There may be times that we have different cravings. Sometimes we need encouragement or comfort. Other times it's to know God's power and protection. Or sometimes we need his love and his truth. As we continually consume the Word of God, we will have a steady satisfaction of our hunger. When we eat, we don't try to store up enough food for months at a time. We only eat until we're full, and then we come back when we're hungry again. With the manna from God in the Old Testament, it was only good for the day that he gave it to them, with the exception of the 6th day. But each day, they had to go out and collect the amount that they needed for that one day. And at the end of the day, the leftover would spoil. In verses 47 through 58 of John chapter 6, Jesus continues with the whole idea of being the bread of life. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will also He also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever." The verbs that are used to describe the eating and drinking of the bread of life have the idea of a continuous, somewhat noisy feeding, like crunching. It's this notion of eating with enjoyment. But there's no way to know how good something is unless we actually try it. Charles has said, "We can't be like children trying new food when it comes to our spiritual lives. If we are, then we will never get to experience the true joy that comes from feeding on the true bread." Jesus is the bread of life in the sense that he nourishes our spirituality and satisfies the deep spiritual longing of our souls. Jesus is more concerned about our spiritual lives than he is our physical lives. This is why he could say in Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." From the world, we are taught to only see the physical. But Jesus challenges us to see the spiritual because that is so much more important than the physical. In John 4:24, Jesus says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." I want to read a few quotes that I found from a man named Ralph Robinson. "Christ is as needful to the soul as bread is to the body. Meat and drink do really satisfy. The supply of Christ is as real as the need of him. A hungry man is not satisfied by talking about feeding, but by eating. So Christ calls us to not just look at him, but to feast on him. In healthy eating, there is an enjoyment of the taste of the food. Eating for the body comes several times a day. So should our partaking of Christ. It is well to have set times for eating. People are not likely to flourish who have no regular meals. So there should be appointed times for feeding with Christ. The flesh and blood of Jesus are food suitable for all conditions, for babes in Christ as well as old men, for sick and healthy Christians. Jesus is so concerned with our spiritual lives because it is a thing that won't be affected by our death." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus to be the true bread of life. Jesus, we thank you for the life that you give us and the way that you nourish us and sustain us on this earth, which we know will have an impact on eternity. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see you in a new way that would make us want to continue to feed on your word and learn about who you are so that we can truly be satisfied like only you can provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Joseph.